The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the
Broadcast. The beautiful game from her point of view. Broadcast. Amy Walls, Claire Rustad, and Rian Wilkinson too. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. Broadcast. You're tuned into the Broadcast on Footy Prime.
And Eminem.
These merchants are badassery.
And James Baldwin. And Salt and Pepper.
Bye.
Okay, I could go on and kill.
Okay.
Then,
push
you're
it.
You're an Eminem's person over Smarties?
I know it's terrible. I like the British Smarties. I don't like the Canadian Smarties.
Okay. It's okay. Smarties aren't my favorite chocolate bar. I just stole some of my kids' Halloween candy. Yes, we still have Halloween candy, and I divide
them.
So do we. And you're like, your children in your 20s, why do you have? Because Mason went fully trick-or-treating. Like,
I kind of love that.
I'm going to bring it to the work potluck tomorrow. All my Halloween candy. That'll be my contribution.
I'm making apple salad with the candied walnuts. And
it sounds delicious.
I'm very excited. I'm so excited. Amy, it's fully vegan.
I need the recipe.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's so
it sounds
good.
Really good. Don't you feel like very like she and like oat cuisine when you roast or you toast a nut or you candy a nut? You're like, this is like 5-star Michelin shit.
But also changes. I make my pesto.
Michelin do 5 stars?
Yes.
Okay.
4 stars. Yeah, they do. But I've never been to a restaurant that is a 5-star Michelin. Mm. When I have basil in the summer, I make pesto. And when someone taught me to roast the pine nuts, I was like, why the fuck didn't anyone tell me this before?
I know. It's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is the Broadcast 2025 year in review, and we're missing some important faces in Rian Wilkinson, who's traveling, coming back to Canada. I hope that I see her soon. And Dr. Claire Rustad. I would have loved to have heard their thoughts on everything we're about to dive into today. But for today, it's Shireen Salty Ahmed, as usual, and Signa Sigs Butler, and myself, Amy Debs Walsh. And we're going to bring you everything that was good and bad from the year that was in women's football. I just want to say, looping back to the Halloween candy bit, we definitely still have Halloween candy at our house. Friends, you thought this was a segue into soccer talk. It's not. I'm going back to the Halloween candy. If you use your Halloween candy that's left over, it might be hidden from the kids, and you use that to fill the advent calendar, are you a good parent or a bad parent?
You are a good parent because you're recycling.
Oh, see. Okay.
Okay. So.
So I arguably don't.
Where's here on the Broadcast?
My advent calendar relationship just started about 5 years ago. I'm very invested now. As a practicing Muslim, I didn't have a lot of experience. However, I think you're industrious. I think that I agree with Sigs. I agree with Signa Butler that you are reusing it and they don't know.
This is it. Like the best midfielders in the game, industry and imagination. There we go. We're back into the football. So you have heard, some sort of dance. You've heard from me a lot on our women's national team and the disappointing end of 2025. No win since June. No goal scored since June. So in the first year under Casey Stoney, I think there was a lot of promise, a lot of excitement for what she was going to do with our women's national team. After a year that was traumatic, it has to be said, but the first year, I think, lived up to the billing, and then the second half of the year really fell flat and fell short. So to you both, who shall we start with? Maybe you, Signa Butler, with a pensive look on your face. Just overarching thoughts without diving in, and I think I've come off the edge of that cliff. Like, I don't think it's as dire as we think that it is. We did face some good opponents. But where did you land, Sigs, now that we've had a week or so to digest the last matchup that we saw our women's national team play?
I was concerned. I think the last time we really had a deep dive into the women's program, I have some big concerns over, like, some of the same concerns that Casey Stoney voiced, you know, the fitness level, the physicalness, the identity, still to be kind of examined. But I don't think it's dire because this team still has all the pieces. I think it's establishing a style of play and like reestablishing a style of play and perhaps going back to the DNA of this team. And that's being absolutely sieve free in terms of defensively as a team. Yeah. I think we've been too shoddy. It's just, and I think that's the shocking part for a lot of Canadian football fans to see this Canadian women's team conceding goals so easily. And it's
goals.
Yeah. Like just not marking up, not tough, like the tough tackles, the, that tenacity that we're used to seeing, like chasing down balls. Like it just is missing. And I don't think it's like gone forever. I just think that it's still a little bit of a, I hate saying transitional period, but like it still is a transitional period. It's okay. Because your goal is making 2027 in the FIFA Women's World Cup, but you got to tighten some things up because, as we've seen in the women's game, like all the nations are getting better and that means CONCACAF nations are getting better. So it's not going to be a dance in the park to get back to the World Cup. Like you have to consider that. So like that's broad strokes for me. We can like,
as we do here on the
podcast. Broad strokes and, we can go around the horn. Like we can get into more specifics later. Like I have, some like thoughts on what the issues are. Like, I mean, we talked about injuries and all that other stuff, but like, I just think from a football perspective, just being shocked at just how defensively untidy we've been, has been the big eye opener for me.
Yeah. Is that how you feel about it, Shereen, when you take a look at this year as a whole, where we've heard Casey Stoney say, yes, it is a transitional year, a year of no meaningful competition or big competition on the docket. So they had that license to experiment. But was there very much experimentation in the way of personnel?
So one of the things that Casey Stoney has said is that there's not a large pool to choose from. Like we're still in the stages. First year of the domestic league. I mean, what heartens me is actually our youth women's team is fantastic or looks to be fantastic. And that to me is an indicator of what can come next, as long as it keeps being funded. There've been, certain movements within Canada Soccer, and I'm one who has publicly been very critical of that federation, but there's movements for coaching. There's movement of recognizing women in those spaces. There was even, something in Canada Soccer and Ontario Soccer did together because they're desperately require referees and officials that are women and young girls. So like there's movement in and there's cognizance. Now, when it gets to the performance of the team, totally agree with Cigna. What Canada has historically relied on is a back line and like a defensive sort of team, which is not happening. I do, however, think a lot of the comments, and I was kind of monitoring comments by people online, just sort of looking at them rather. A lot of people like, how do we lose to Japan? I'm like, do you know who Nadeshiko is? Do you know who they are? Like, what kind of comment is that? Like, that's insane to me. Like 10, 12 years ago, like they beat the United States. Like they're not teams that are weak historically. They have very solid programs, not to mention the best socks in women's football. I think they are head and tails above everybody else. They've always been head and tails above everybody else, Japan. But also like I looked back and I was watching when Canada played against China last winter and looking at that, and it was a draw 1-1. And looking at that and examining, and there's moments of intense, like attacking, like Adriana Leon has spurts of like this kind of momentum, but that needs to be carried forward. And we all know it. My cat knows it. The finishing is not there. We don't have right now and haven't for a minute had a team that puts the ball behind the net. This is very simply put a sport and a beautiful game that relies on the ball crossing over the goal line. We're not able to do that. And whatever that takes, whether messing around in the middle, with injuries and talking about injuries and moving forward and looking, this year will be critical more so than 2025 because it will be a qualifying year for the Women's World Cup. And those matches will start. If I was Casey Stone, I wouldn't panic yet, but her game is not a short one. I'm not vexed if we don't win against the Netherlands in November. I will be stressed out if we don't win next year in November. That's going to be a different broadcast episode. So I think the wheels are turning. And again, you know, Casey Stoney was absent because of her mom's condition. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that. And that was, that also affects in some, you know, psychosocial sense always, like the team and what happens. And hopefully, you know, that like load can be lightened for her because it was incredibly emotional, that call. And it has an effect on the players and stuff. But moving forward, hopefully the team can. I wasn't on the call with Henderson, though, so I can't speak. Ames, were you on the call?
I was, and then also broadcast call. So I think that she was, you know, somebody who can lead. And I mean, the principles and the foundation and the DNA, the identity, everything that Stoney is preaching, Henderson was, not necessarily with an iron fist, but like with some clarity. But the issue with me is how then, if there's clarity in the way that they're coaching, the way that they see this team evolving or where they want to be, and then what's actually on the pitch, there's a clear disconnect there. And I think with the players as well, there's a lack of understanding between them. Like we were talking on our One Soccer coverage that it's just about a year ago that this team tied Spain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was an all-world performance in the way of team defense and goalkeeping that was world-class. Kadisha Buchanan with like 7 blocks in that game.
That's a topic I do want to get into, is goalkeeping and what that looks like, that back line, that defensive sort of, you know, aura that Canada has traditionally had. I think it's being tested and it should be tested at all times, but it's being tested and exposing certain flaws. What needs to happen there? Like what? Kellen Sheridan is a starter at her club team. Like, mm-hmm. I'm wondering what is we've seen more Sabrina D'Angelo in the friendlies recently. We saw the second match she started. Do we need to switch it up? Because like there were some gaffes by Kellen Sheridan. Mm-hmm. So like, what are we like, is that something that needs to happen? And it's okay if it happens. It's always important, particularly for goalkeepers, to remain super competitive within the team. Like, what are we like, is that what should happen?
It's not super competitive within the team. And one of my arguments and one, like, not to jump around here, but maybe we jump around like crisscross or whatever, but,
love that.
I don't know what I was doing there. I would say, like bringing in, they need to bring in some more players, like across the board. But mm-hmm. I think goalkeeping is one area where they need to immediately start bringing in people. Not saying that they need to make a change with Sheridan or D'Angelo, but they need to have the likes of Dagenet, Karpenko. Like I'm thinking of those two from the Northern Super League in particular, of coming in and being in the environment, you know, and also putting a little bit of pressure, like Sheridan and D'Angelo have been the 1-2 for like eons now. Like, mm-hmm. let's put a little bit of pressure.
Disrupt that status quo, right?
Yeah, the status quo. And I don't like it. And I also think like just the identity and whatever, like when I say identity, I guess I'm more talking about formation. Like, are we going to go back to a back three? Like what's our opinion on that? Cause I think that affects the goalkeeping as well. Like mm-hmm. if you're expected to be the leader in the back and you're playing with, you know, a back four, a back five versus a back three with your, you know, your two fullbacks, like I think that changes how you play in goal. So mm-hmm. without having that firm, you know, style of play where I don't think everybody's on board with the way they're playing right now, it's just very disjointed. Mm-hmm. You know, do you go back to being a little bit more defensive minded and you have like world-class fullbacks that you can put out there? Like, I think Janine Sonas should be playing fullback.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something that came up where that's also, I think somebody, I don't want to say it's lazy by the coach, but you have somebody who's so versatile and that's been leaned on heavily in Janine, but is it to her detriment and also to the team's detriment that she's been moved around all the time? She gives you that kind of wild card as a coach, mm-hmm. right? Like that extra sub, because you can
she gives you anywhere,
right? Yeah. And she's done an incredible job for this team, but she's somebody mm-hmm. who has also looked a little bit out of sorts this year. You remember the opportunities that they created versus, was it Switzerland? She had like 3 grade A opportunities, couldn't finish. And that's a microcosm of team issues and just happened to fall at her foot in that game. But I like her as well further back. And I think you have depth in that position. You have Collins, who's returned from injury, hadn't had a cap or minute since 2022. Mm-hmm. So I think you have talent there. And I think it would give this team more bodies in the midfield. Mm-hmm. If you played something similar to what this team played, three at the back and then five in the midfield, something similar to that. And then like a number nine and then a couple of players playing kind of in that pocket, which is actually how Stoney started the year, almost like two tens and then shifting around there, whether you're in possession or out of possession.
It creates playmaking, which I think that we're struggling with and hugely. And there is, what bothers me is there's enough talent on this team and experience to be creative, and I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a very tentative style of play in particular. And there's a freedom. One of the things that someone asked me about, what was the greatest moment for you in Canadian sport that you covered or something? Like for me personally, yeah, it was a gold in Tokyo, but was also watching the freedom with which they moved. And I just don't feel like that's happening. And I don't know if that's a psychosocial thing, a cultural thing, an identity thing. And I do think on this question of identity, because it comes up a lot, identities always change. Like our show changes like whenever we get on, like depending on like what we're doing, what we feel like, how much we've used the word, you know, see you next Tuesday. But like it gets evolving, and it should evolve. Identity shouldn't be undynamic. But right now, I think we're in a place where nobody's sure of what that is. Like, I'm not clear. I don't feel like it's being projected clearly. So all these things are connected in a way, you know. And I wish that they would reach down a little more and just like find that. I know the team has changed quite a bit. I know there's like, you know, it's evolving, but with people like in young talent, Jade Rose with Sydney Collins coming back with like, Simi, who's now not injured or is still injured. Simi is back.
But was injured for long periods and also out of form, not getting minutes with Manchester United.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jade Revere is doing great at Man U. So to bring a little bit of that, and I'm excited to see that. And Liv Smith, post-knock, her performance at LFC has just been like, I see her all over my Instagram.
But she's perennially post-knock. This is an issue. Is this a world-class talent? Broke the transfer fee or the transfer record, right, for women's football. And then that's since been eclipsed twice. But she's a world beater. She's a game changer. And Canada needs her to be healthy. In her young career now, can she get a long stretch where for club and for country, she can be relied upon to be fit and starting game in and game out?
So here's a question for you.
Jade Revere.
Yeah.
Like there's a few players that fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
Does Canada offer them the support they need to act out those roles that we know they can fulfill? That's another thing. Does Canada right now, as it looks like, are they there to be able to support Smith in the front? No, like I don't think as is. I'm not saying it can't happen. I think things need to be tweaked and the momentum should come and it will come. But like it's not just like they get on the pitch and everything changes, that entire support system. Like this is my argument about Messi. Messi wasn't as great as he was at Barcelona without Andres Iniesta. I'm sorry. If you don't have a backup, like I just want everyone to be Andres Iniesta. That's all. that's what this whole thing for me is about. That's it. And Javi, oh my God.
Yeah, but who do we have who has the capabilities, the talent, the wherewithal to pull the strings effectively versus a top-tier opponent? Do we have that player? For a long time, we thought it was Jessie Fleming.
I would say it's Jessie Fleming, but I really don't think she should. I wonder if she moves from NWSL. I just don't. Or like, can we use Jessie Fleming in more of a sort of that role right behind the strikers, like, and let her roam a little bit? Like, I thought she was really, like, I like the combination, like, with her and Janine, like, allowing more opportunity for that. I feel like without Jessie pulling the strings, we don't have someone like that.
Yeah, and she did it in a couple of snapshots over the course of the year. Stade Saputo versus Haiti. couple of assists where she looked as lively, as dynamic, as influential as I've seen her in a really long time.
And we love to see
Haiti.
Yeah.
Who do we have that can do that? Is that Jessie versus a top tier opponent? I don't know if it is, yeah, or if it's a more industrious role where it's ground cover and it's tackles and it's, you know, being an outlet and then passing it along to somebody else.
Then you need to, if we're going to allow Jessie to do what Jessie does best, then you need to have those industrial midfielders behind her.
Yeah.
And we haven't had either healthy bodies or the right bodies there for some time. I look at this run of form and I can't help but think we haven't seen Quinn.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, I know that Quinn hasn't been called in, but the back half of the season for them was outstanding. And that's the kind of football that I expect to see them play. And so you have somebody that has the ability to break lines and has the ability to switch the field to play and has that technical ability.
That range of passing. I don't know if anybody else has that range of passing.
I don't think we have somebody of that profile.
But didn't Stoney say that Quinn and like they agreed with Quinn? Like there was a mutual agreement that they wouldn't go. And my concern is we may not see Quinn again on the senior team. And
I don't think we will.
I'm concerned about that because, as you said, the form was excellent. They understand the middle. When they're on in such a way. They understand their game IQ is super high. Like it's exciting. It's riveting in a way. And then, you know, for me, and I can't believe this because I think Jessie Fleming is incredibly hardworking, runs the whole damn time. But there's been an inconsistency. And you're right, that game, that match at Stade Saputo, Fleming was excellent. Mm-hmm. But that's the other thing is the consistency. We're not consistent. So, I mean.
So let's give her some people. Like, let's invest in the midfield. I've been saying this for a while. I don't understand why that's fine that you have the midfielders that you have in camp, but like, why on earth Nikki Small as a 22-year-old has not been called into this camp, a former youth national team player that has starred at every youth level. You don't have to star at every youth level to be considered on the national team. But what she's done this year with AFC Toronto in terms of the flexibility of how she plays, how she gets into pockets, how she releases players, just watching her at the World Sevens was so entertaining. She is so skillful. I just don't understand why you don't call her in just for the environment. Like, what harm is that doing?
I don't think she passes the Casey Stoney eye test. And I might be wrong, but I think that Casey Stoney takes a look. Yeah. Need some AFC Toronto, some vermilion colored glasses instead of rose colored glasses.
Rose colored glasses.
Well done, Dubs.
Thank you so much. Well, this has been the broadcast for our year in review. No, I'm just kidding. Leaving on a high note. Nice.
But it took, but let's be fair, it took a while and a lot of public scrutiny and a lot of commentary for DB to get called up. So it's going to take a while.
And then the passport,
issue.
And then the passport thing. And then it didn't even work out to begin with. But I think there is, so here's my hot take. Okay. It's pretty hot. I'm not mad at Casey Stoney for wanting to have a high standard. I do agree with calling people into camp for the environment. Ziggs, you're right. It's important. But I think having that high standard is essential.
But where's the high standard been? Then the standard's got to be higher.
To set it. I think that I'm just saying that not specifically about DB or Nikki. I'm talking about just generally. She comes in and I am not mad at that. Like, it's the confidence that we want to see from a head coach.
Yeah. I'm fine with the confidence, but let's put some pressure on the status quo. Let's put some pressure on people right now.
And especially when publicly you bemoan the players who are in camp and say that the standard's not high enough. And they say, or she says, her parting words are, you go back to your club and you don't perform, you will not get called into the next camp.
But there's exceptions.
And then she goes back and does the same thing.
Aladu is the exception. And she noted that. Aladu, unfortunately, is not getting the minutes at Portland. Mm-hmm. And that, but she can be a game changer. I'm a big fan of Aladu's playing. I think there is that tenacity, Sigs, that you talked about. I think she has it and can have it and can inject it if correctly supported. Mm-hmm. I think there could be some chemistry issues. I don't know. But again, that's the job of the people managing the team, is to figure out what works where, what combinations are more lethal, like, and to take what you have and create that magic. So we're still in the phase of when the magic is being percolated.
There's lots of positives, right? Like, there's a lot of positives that we haven't seen yet this year because of NCAA.
Yeah.
So you're going to have Annabelle Chukwu. You're going to have Kayla Briggs. You're going to have
Naya Rose.
What's that?
You don't think
Mutipula? Like, I mean, that's a younger player, but I was thinking more of those three in particular that didn't get called in because of NCAA. Like,
and shout out to Janet Okeke, who won the NCAA championship with Florida State. Yep.
So those are three players right there that
there's Mutipula players. What?
Mutipula reasons and players.
Multiple players.
I want to cycle back to Quinn. Because I think there's something to resolve there. I think Quinn is not rated by Casey Stoney. I think as long as Casey Stoney is the coach, I don't think Quinn will be back with the women's national team, quite frankly.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I think what Quinny does so well, all of the things that we just listed, the range of passing, quarterbacking from deep, the game IQ, connecting, being that outlet, the trickery on the ball, there's a lack of mobility and a lack of pace that Stoney believes does not translate to the international stage. That is my opinion in terms of trying to unpack why they are not rated by Stoney.
Which I find really interesting, because the game experience, like the wide game experience, the international competition experience counts for a ton.
Yes. I would just like to say, as a caveat here, before I get added in comments and things like that, that is not my opinion. This is me trying to understand why Quinn is not rated by Stoney. I also do think that there's a void that was created with the exit of Desi Scott, where you had a true destroyer anchoring your midfield, critical in the attacking phase, but absolutely essential in the defensive phase and creating that collective, airtight, defensive, tough to play against, right? Nobody wanted to face Canada. And Desi Scott was emblematic of all of that.
And the intangible glue of connecting the team together from a chemistry perspective.
Yes. Yeah. And this is the last that I'll say about this defensive position or this number six role with our women's national team. Quinn comes in, not the same type of player, does a very good job. The players and the profiles around them, I don't know, ever created a midfield that was of a top tier quality. Emma Regan comes in. Laterally, I think too late, but like comes in at the end of 2024 and locks in, like cemented herself in the base of that midfield. And with good reason, because she performed, and obviously Iron Woman of NSL, one of the very bright spots of the league in its inaugural year.
And still young enough to grow.
Yes, will grow, has a higher ceiling, is not there yet though, to do the job that Canada needs her to do in the base of that midfield. And we need players around her and a system and a structure that helps her out a little bit more, so she is less isolated in there. More experience will give her more wherewithal in there, and I think we'll be better suited to those that position against top tier opponents. But our midfield is an issue right now with our women's national team, and a big reason is that we haven't found somebody who can do the work that Desi Scott did for so long.
So in a different player profile, and this is not a Desi Scott, but like a different player profile of somebody who has got called in this year, I think at the Pinatar Cup, but Sam Chang.
Yeah. Yep. On my list.
You know, like there's a few players, and I'm going to my NSL knowledge here, guys, because I'm just here to
You have a breadth of knowledge.
Well, I just think, of a few players, like we talked about DB, we talked about Kaylee Hunter, and Emma Regan and Holly Ward, right? That are there now. But like, if you look at other players and expand that, like we talked about Quinn, well, if that, is not in the cards right now, then, you know, it is players like Nicky Small and Sam Chang and, you know, our good friend of the show, Liv Scott.
Yep. I believe. Yeah, exactly. Liv Scott. I was thinking about Scott earlier this morning.
Scott.
But Nicky
Scott.
Small, if Nicky Small doesn't get a sniff, I'd heard rumors that she was going to take the leap with Jamaica. And then Nicky Small is no longer an option for Casey Stoney.
So you wanted her. You got the Tanya Boychuk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You lose a player. I mean, Tanya's reasons for playing for Ukraine, can't argue with that at all. Obviously, her dad's heritage and everything like that. So I know that means a lot to her. But also, like, Canadian program didn't come sniffing for a while. And, you know, if you want to play internationally and the pool, the World Cup pool is expanding every year, that means your nation's going to have a better shot at getting the World Cup and you have that experience, then I can't fault a player for doing that.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up a comment because like something else is like about your NSL link. I think it's such a great one and will allow us to kind of segue into that discussion as we wrap this show up. But Keely Hunter never really got an opportunity, was called into camp, had suffered a knock in AFC Toronto training, never got a chance to play with the women's national team. I mean, there's so much time for Keely Hunter to put her stamp on the women's national team. And that is really exciting. And that's one of the big things that I'm looking forward to for 2026. So out of the players we've mentioned, maybe some that we've not, like Abdu is another who was called in, didn't get brought back in. Geneva Hernandez-Gray, Megan Reed, the emergence of Floriane Jourde, right? Playing for PSG, Shivoshi at the back line as well. But I think this team really has missed Kadisha Buchanan. But I wanted to...
And for a while, Gilles was gone.
Oh, my gosh. And Vanessa Gilles was so missed.
For me, Gilles occupies... And I know Desi is one in a million. I know the destroyer. But for me, Gilles, not only what happened in Paris, but her mental captaining of this team, for me, is huge. She wears her heart on top of herself, like armor.
Yeah, more than on her sleeve, right? It's on her forehead.
And just one of my favorite pictures and gives me goosebumps. For me, you know, the picture of Brandi Chastain taking off her shirt is iconic. For me, after Gilles scored and saying, your voice is forever etched into my head because of it, she jumping down and being like, ah, like that photo for me.
I know.
Gives me everything. And that's what I see when we think about creativity, when you think about tenacity, when you think about Canada and what they can be. For me, a lot of that is Sheil. And she was also absent for a bit. She was injured. Yeah. So I'm not panicking yet is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. They missed her class, her quality, her leadership, but all of the intangibles that she brings, right? And in calling everybody out when necessary. And it's somebody who shouts and who is loud in the way that she leads. So I think that we see that, we pay attention to it and maybe undervalue the type of leadership that Jessie Fleming offers, right? And then she's become a little bit maligned for that. People are like, she needs to be louder and she needs to be more of a leader that rules with an iron fist, but that's not ever going to be her. And I don't think we see what Jessie Fleming does behind closed doors. But anyway, we could talk for hours, guys, but I just wanted to, there was a comment I made, just talked about our women's national team and kind of the situation they find themselves in on Footy Prime a couple of weeks ago now. And this is a comment. So it's called, I'm gonna do the best that I can with what I got. Basically, it's like a 20 letter name here on YouTube. And basically I'm gonna paraphrase, but it says U.S. women's national team are rotating in a lot of younger players to get them experience and create, in parentheses, healthy competition in the last window. Sony's comment on the lack of Canada's pool is worrying, and you alluded to this, Shireen, because if we're going to continue to give chances to players that aren't producing for country or club, before we give players like Small and younger players a chance, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. So we already discussed the player pool a little bit. I'm sure we could dive back into that if we wanted to, but I wanted to ask you guys if the comparison is fair to what Emma Hayes has done since she's come into the U.S. women's national team. We understand the resources are different. It's apples to oranges. The population is different. And somebody else called me out saying, you know, teams like Norway and smaller countries still find a way to produce a world-class program. I'm not saying that we can't do that because of our population, but I'm just saying comparing a country that has 40 million people to 300 million people is not the way to go, and you're going to lose out anyway. But Emma Hayes has come in there and made that pool and that roster deep. And she's increased the competition. She's put the onus on the players to perform, to earn their spots. So is there something there that Stoney can learn perhaps from Hayes? Or is it too late now because the year for experimentation is now over?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it would have been, I think more players should have been called in the last window, but I don't know. I think you're right about a lot of those things. I think it's resources. I think it's population. I don't necessarily think that we look for players outside of three pockets of this country. There are players in this country, and I say this as somebody who lives in a region and whose team consistently bats above their weight at Canada Games and wins medals for three straight Canada Games, and not, there's only one Nova Scotia player on the national radar. I find that very, like, people aren't looking. And it's not, I'm not just saying like out east, it's a smaller population, I get that. But there's like the Chloe Lacasses of the world that are from Sudbury, Ontario. There are players that are playing in different parts of British Columbia and Alberta and Saskatchewan and like all over the place. We're not IDing players, you know, outside of being on the national team. Like there's not national development programs. You know, there's the Ontario program and then there's Whitecaps. Like it feels like, and in Montreal, obviously, but like outside of those three, like bigger markets, you know, players are, you know, forced to leave where they live to go play somewhere, to be ID'd. You know, but that's why you flew to people out in British Columbia.
But even having the NSL, unless we get back, how the NSL and the all, there's a method to the madness. Like Lauren Rowe, for me, is someone I would keep an eye on if I was Casey Stoney. She's fastest. Like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Why am I whispering?
I don't know. You're allowed to swear here. Shireen.
Like, there's ways in which there's exposure, which is exactly what the point is. And we're not going to get it all overnight. I think it's going to take a year or two to get these things going. But I agree with you. Like, Sig, I agree with you. I don't know why I pause when I say that. I'm like, am I just being predictable and cliche now? Did I make that a cliche? No.
No, cliche. My friend, you're many things, but predictable and cliche are two things you are not.
But that's part of the thing. And as far as Emma goes, okay, I'm actually, I'm not 100% sold on Emma. I don't, she has favorites for sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. And like, I think that there's a little bit, there's a lot of favoritism. I think there's a way that she prioritizes. She has this arrogance that comes from football and her background. I think she was also mean to Jessie Fleming. I didn't play her at Chelsea. So I'll always kind of feel a ways about that. But, there's something about her that brings a type of boastfulness that is well suited to the U.S. women's national team. Mm. And I think it's a good match. But I think Emma Hayes wants to win for Emma Hayes and her team. She doesn't want global women's football necessarily to win. And I'm sure people across the pond will get mad at me about this. But there's like Wagman is different, right? When you look at her and her approach. Yeah. Like, Feigman. And what did I call her?
Wagman.
Why did I? Who is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Is that another professor down the hall from you?
I was going to say, who is that? I don't even know who that is. My goodness. I think there's a lot of lauding and a lot of hype around Emma Hayes. And I'm just, she's not my fave. Going to say it. She's not.
Interesting. Come after Shireen in the comments, everybody. Yeah.
So, okay, like last
too
window.
Too much adulation of the United States for me this week. Too much.
In the next window, yeah, like it. If I were to propose something in the next window, it would be find 5 to 6, 21 to 23-year-olds that have not been into a national team camp and bring them in. Hmm. Like, just do that or bring it, you know, just find 5 to 6 new players that have not been in the environment and bring them in. You're not bringing in 10 players. You're bringing in 5 to 6. That allows everybody to kind of like help them adapt in the environment. It allows them to show what they can do. And it also helps the status quo. Like everyone's like, oh, I know who's coming to camp this year. It's going to be the same people we've had it like for the last 5 to 6 years. Yay. Like, yep. That's great and everything, but that doesn't strike a competitive environment. Mm-hmm. You need to constantly have somebody at your heels. It makes everybody better.
Yeah.
It's like that in every sport. Like
it addresses the complacency.
I look at like short track speed skating in Canada and like, there's like 7 athletes that could make that team, like for men and women going to the Olympics, but only 5 of them can go. But like you have that environment where it's so competitive and it's so, you know, like anybody could win on any given day. And that's the environment that they need to have.
Mm-hmm. I know this is probably a resource thing as well, but do you remember, not Jesse Fleming, another Jesse Marsh, our men's national team coach. I believe it was the end of last year, or it could have been the beginning of this past calendar year, he had an MLS player camp.
Yes.
You know, and I know money is always an issue with our federation, but what's stopping Casey Stoney from doing that with NSL-based players and widening it even more with players who are in Canada or in NCAA and gathering them at the beginning of the year and having almost like an ID camp?
And hear me out. One thing we do not do is exploit youth sport. Look, I think that there are ways in which, yes, you can definitely argue the level of youth sport is not at an international level, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about development. We're talking about potential. We're talking about working towards it. There are some fantastic youth sport athletes in this country who made the choice not to go to the United States for
like Stephanie Hill. Mm-hmm. Perfect example.
Exactly. And I think there needs to be, and this is also my query for the NSL too. I want to see a little bit more of that with U Sport and looking at if we're really going to talk about Canadian talent, which is the basis of the Canadian Women's National Team. It's going to be literally doing what we're talking about, committing to the programs, looking at the players, seeing who has the potential, being in touch with people and really doing it. It's a lot easier in England, and I know they do it at every level because it's much smaller country, and I understand that, and they have the resources. But I'm saying we can put that into practice, and I think we should. And there's so many ways in which, like, we jump around on this podcast. And, you know, like, I was thinking of Jump Around by Crisscross. Remember, people wore their pants backwards. Do you remember?
Yes.
This is our second Crisscross episode or mention in this episode.
Yes. So
Crisscross better hit happening, us, but that's okay.
That's okay.
But, yeah.
Should be a lot of that happening, and it can be happening. And if even only to say, no, this is not what I'm looking for, but I was out here, I gave it a fair shake. It's not, move it along. I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to put you guys on the spot as we kind of put a bow on our women's national team talk. So I said it was a year in review, a year under Casey Stoney. If you had to give Casey Stoney a grade, what would that grade be, Shireen?
I love how you started with me because
I know.
In grading hell, and you know this. I give her a B.
Okay. How about you, Sigs?
I give a C for circumstance. I think her circumstances this year have been unfortunate. Like, it's, you know, like watching a parent go through something is never a good thing for any human to face. So, benefit of the doubt there. And I think like she wants to be fully committed. Like I think the way she started is not necessarily the way that she wanted to finish the year. And that was out of her control. But, I think she's somebody, especially as a player background, that can look at learnings and tweak them. So I'm hoping that the new window and the new year, we'll see, you know, Canada on the right foot.
And just to clarify, I'm following the TMU where I teach the, and SIG is the grading scale. And for B, it's 73% to 76%. And SIG C is 63% to 66%.
Then I say C+.
Okay. C plus is 67% to 69%.
C+ for circumstance.
Yeah, I was gonna
and you know
say,
what? I would actually change what I said, tweak it to a B-. So Sig and I are almost in lockstep with that, but I'm a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's so you still fit under the umbrella of I agree with Cigna.
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
and then you're grading.
Yeah. What about you, Ames? What are you, professor?
Well, I like. Yeah. Put on my jaunty little professor cap here. I really loved the way that Cigna made her answer alliterative, and so it was C for circumstance, and I'm going to say D for disjointed. Yes, I think that, and I don't know what the equivalent is for like an actual number grade there, but it's probably
56%.
Yeah, I think it's been a failing grade because, you know, the principles that Stoney espoused coming in and the identity that this team, I think, failed to assume was chance creation. I think set pieces had improved with Jen Hurst being brought in. Open play chances did increase maybe a little bit, but you saw it sporadically. Clinical edge, incision versus a low block, not really there. Push standards of play, develop partnerships, positive, purposeful play. Those boxes were not ticked.
That okay, I have a question too as we wrap up. Who was one player? Because we'll end on a positive note. 2025 felt like a dumpster fire year, globally speaking. But let's talk about the positive. Who is one player you're looking forward to watch moving forward with the national team?
Kaylee Hunter. I said
yeah,
it
I was going to say Dubs already said, I think, the name that every – if you saw, you know, like if you watch Kaylee Hunter this year in the NSL, I mean, just watching her at the World Sevens again, like 17.
Joyous. Mm-hmm. Joyous. I have one. It's not the same. I mean, I'm excited for Kaylee Hunter, but I'll be 95 and she'll still be scoring goals. Like, she's very young. I'm excited about Holly Ward. Because as Canada builds up its team and what they're intending to do, that particular position will be of importance and will be pivotal in the purposeful play. I'm trying to do all P's.
I like it.
And it's something I want to keep an eye out for. Like, there's a couple that I find fascinating also, but just in terms of playing style and approach and practice, I think that Holly Ward for me is one for sure.
I love it. And obviously DB. Right?
Yeah.
Like, can we get a passport, please, DB?
Like, DB play.
Who is the immigration minister of this country?
I don't know, but Adam Vancouverden, who was our minister of sport, fast-tracked Alfie Jones for our men's national team. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that they didn't do it for our women's national team.
She has a passport. It's like the discrepancy with, like, FIFA and all that stuff. Like,
is that what it was?
I assume so.
No, I think that she actually doesn't have a Canadian passport, Sig.
But she was with the team.
She traveled on her U.S. passport.
She traveled on the U.S. passport.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
She traveled on the U.S. one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she got a lot of flack saying, like, you were on a provisional roster at the end of 2022, even though you were never officially called into a camp. Get off your ass and get your Canadian passport if that's a possibility.
Right.
But then I will also say, from our federation standpoint, why are you not on top of that as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that blame can be shared.
I'm also looking forward to the return, and I hope it's sooner than later, of Kadisha Buchanan.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Desperately needed.
Yeah. And also just, you know, just such a tenacious player. And that's the kind of defender that teams know who they're playing against
and fear,
right?
And she was one of Emma Hayes's favorites. She was
so
favorite.
You have Kadisha and you have Gilles back there and Rose, and go back to that back three.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Kadisha was a boss from day one. One player, youth player of the year in 2015 at the World Cup, like boss from day one. And like, yeah Keish, get better soon.
Yeah. Yep.
And hat tip also to Keish for starting that program, the support for single moms.
Yes.
Just brilliant.
Wonderful.
Bravo. And also, I want to see her more under Sonia Bonpastor. Who saw her just a little bit, right? Mm. I think that there's a mutual respect there, and I think that she can continue to flourish at Chelsea.
Yeah.
But yeah, huge. And I will say, just to kind of add in another name, Evelyn Vienne. Talk about somebody who's continually underutilized and underrated by, you know, like the rotation of coaches that we've had with our women's national team. Can we get Evelyn Vienne? One, she has to be fit, right? Like, she's had some injuries herself, niggling ones over the course of this year. But that is somebody that I want to see leading the line. And but that is somebody.
She gets one sniff at goal and she scores. Like, that's all this woman needs. Mm-hmm. Like, whether she was offside or not against Japan, like, one sniff at goal and it's in the back of the net. That's the kind of finishing.
She I do like chances she poaches.
I do also really like that I can spot her easily because of her little ponytail braid. I appreciate her for that. I do. I know it's random, but I do. And I like. I think also she has a tenacity and a, like, she's very driven, and you can see her laser focus when she's trying to score, and that excites me. I like to be excited by that, and it's good. I agree.
The foundational thing, though, for me, for Stoney to be able to coach, but I think for this team and the players, the core of these players, who many of them have three World Cups kind of in their locker, they have bags of experience, bags of talent, is to be good at the things that don't take any talent. Casey Stoney talked about that, and that we absolutely have to return to that because you can't layer on identity, DNA, quality, in possession, you know, like, patterns of play on top of something that doesn't exist, that is crucial for who you are in the international stage. And that's Canada's tough to play against. We win the battles, we win the tackles. Like teams fear us for that reason, or have feared us in the past, and no longer without that key component. All right, my pals. I don't really think we can get into any NSL stuff. There have been some moves, some surprising ones. I think AFC Toronto, because they participated in World Sevens, will have some roster announcements and some decisions that will be made. But there have been some big moves, like Calgary, Steph, right? I always get confused with Sheena's sister. Steph Vukovic gone, who played almost every minute in net for them. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Spencer gone for the Vancouver Rise. Halifax, there's been tons of moves. Nakamura, Cameron, Frimo, Wickers back with Annika Toth. And Cedeno has got a contract with, is it NWSL's Rain?
Rain.
That's right.
Yeah, with Seattle Rain. So that's interesting. There's been some choose extended with Ottawa. But I mean, huge, huge spots and holes to fill in the defensive midfield with Gibson, who was let go, and then obviously Desi Scott retired. But though, I mean, they're going to have to make some.
This
big
is the part of the season that I'm excited about. You know, just as we were watching these teams be built from scratch last year, now it's like, oh, okay, like, you know, to see moves happen and to see like these teams and their management has been in, you know, now with going into the second season, their management has an idea of like the style of play and how they want to, you know, they've seen what won in year one and what was successful in year one and how they can build upon that in year two. So only going. And
Stella Downing also not renewed, will not be back. Julia Benatti, who had the goal of the year in NSL, will not be back for Ottawa. Montreal, I mean, there were some players like Owen Smith, Lachance, and Shank. And then options, new contract for Haley Whitaker, who I think was a big piece for them last year. Julia Lees as well. And Charlotte Bidbeau, who started really strong but faded towards the end of the year.
Wasn't Bilbo the first re-signing announced after the season was over? I think she was the first one that was announced.
I think you're right.
Because I texted you guys and I was like, look. So
it'll be interesting because I think there's international players sniffing around and has seen the quality in year one and has seen, have talked to their friends and their friends that are in the league and
gotta go,
okay, what's the player environment like? And we will see, you know, some Canadians come back home for sure this second year.
And to be honest, I think it's really important for us to sort of look and comment on the fact that this league has like the best media in the world.
100%. Also, you guys, Sigs, you're talking about bringing more Canadians home. I think like the proof is in the pudding. Like the standard of play was outstanding. I think this year checked a lot of boxes, but I think it surprised a lot of people as well. So that word of mouth, like that, I think world football and in terms of the women's game, people know about NSL. It's on the map, right? But we're going to see players leave. Like Esther Okoronkwo had an incredible year with the Super Falcons, with Nigeria winning WAFCON, but then also led the NSL in assists, contributed like as part of that really dynamic attacking tandem for AFC Toronto, made the Guardians top 100 women's footballers list.
Yeah.
Right. Like if she wasn't on people's radars before, then she is now.
Yep.
So it might not be Esther, but it could be somebody else who's using NSL as a springboard, not necessarily to a better league, but maybe to a bigger club. Do you guys think that we see that?
Yep.
Yep.
I don't want to speculate who, because that'll disappoint. Like, I think anybody who watched the league this year can pick. There's a few players, and Esther would be one of them. And I think they're all from AFC Toronto.
I think the other thing too.
Sorry, not to jump on there, but like I do see clubs going after Kaylee Hunter, and I see clubs mm-hmm. going after Emma Regan, and I do mm-hmm. see clubs going after Esther. Those three mm-hmm. for sure. And I think Calgary was smart to sign Maggie Doherty Howard through 2028 because I think she would have got snapped up too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me too, the Sevens tournament for Lauderdale was a showcase of them. And it's almost for me, it had a semblance of a last hurrah for Kaylee Hunter and Esther Kirikou-Okwo. And I was thinking, yeah, it did. I felt very much like that because
that'll make people so sad though. Maybe not. Who knows?
Who knows? But I don't know. I know we don't have time to talk about this, so I proceed to talk about it. Watching that tournament.
Time. So we're much not on the clock.
Fun.
Go on.
It was so much fun. And it was just fun. It was one of the first match was on the day of the FIFA draw. So it was like all over the place. But it was fun to watch them. It was intense. I love sevens. I forgot about this. How much I love sevens. It gives indoor. It gives fun. It gives fast. It's just, there's a way that squad, they just brought fun. It's fucking what I want the national team to be. It was so fun and
joyful, right? Which is
joyful.
What our national team has not had for a long time.
Yeah, Milanovic talks about all the time is joy, but what it did was
joyful, entertaining, just
like fast, fun, like provocative in a good way, like playing fantastic teams. Like I was like, this also will further expose the players that, you know, will get that global exposure. If you don't know who they are already, you're not doing your job as a sporting director wherever you are very well.
Poorly attended though.
Badly attended.
Yeah, which is a disappointment.
Which was also like FIFA draw stuff. I know MLS final was happening and a lot of people were tuned in for that. So like, mm-hmm. you know.
Great stuff though.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun. And we didn't even talk about what was drama with the spice kind of mid-season was the Latifa Abdu intra-league move, right? Remember that? We were in the makeup room at CBC. We're like, what? What's happening?
I must start sleuthing immediately.
Yes,
and we did. It was good.
Yeah. And the reason why my brain went there is like you're talking about the World Sevens being maybe the swan song for Kaylee Hunter and Esther Okoronkwo, right? And I mean, I think you have to see that as a win for NSL because that's the players' brand, that's AFC Toronto's brand, but that's NSL's brand, right? On the world stage at the World Sevens. And that's like hugely merited and earned for them as the Supporters Shield winning team. But it made me think of Abdu because like once she parted ways with the roses, it was, I'm going to go to a league that challenges me. And I'm paraphrasing in terms of what her kind of parting words were to move laterally across the country to the Vancouver Rise, but where she was absolutely lights out with Jess DiFilippo, right? As an attacking tandem for them and the winners of NSL in the inaugural year, the champs.
Diana, one more thing too. Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say that the D Cup winners. And speaking of,
we can't call it that anymore.
Oh, yeah, we're not allowed.
Oh, the Bev.
The Bev.
I also wanted to mention, like, in terms of the league, Diana Matheson herself got some global awards for being like such like a powerhouse and a vanguard of women's football and a guardian of the game, so to speak. And I've been thinking a lot about that. I wrote a column about the FIFA draw. So it came out yesterday or came out today. What day is it? I can't remember. and I've been thinking a lot about that and how tremendous this is. And I don't think we understand. I think we understand because we talk about it all the time, but I really hope Canadians understand how important this league is for what we talked about, the national program, for the youth leagues, for inspiring women's football around the world. And I think that can't be overstated. I should save these words for the NSL party, the holiday party, shouldn't
no,
I?
No, dude, you use them here like you just did. It's perfect. It's a great way to put a bow on.
Yeah, but you
on.
Guys will cry hard faster if you're both drunk. So maybe I'll just leave it when that happens. No, I'm just kidding.
You didn't cry in this episode.
No, I know.
But I
tell you. You just sent me a friend request?
Who?
Dan Wong.
Hey, that. Another great way to end the broadcast of the last one of 2025. So listen, thank you to you both. Thank you for your time, your investment, your enthusiasm, your joy, and bringing it every time to the broads. I mean, I think Footy Prime, Footy so Prime for me that. In
who
general.
Takes the picture?
No, I don't know. Do you want me to do it?
No, but I want all of us have to do it. Okay, let me time
do
it.
A screen
I'll,
grab.
Do, I'll do one. Wait. Oh, yeah, let's do a screen grab. Let's do it. Let's pretend we're taking one. Okay. Why do we have to stop talking, or why did I have to stop talking?
Sorry.
But you were smiling. Well,
honestly, like, hopefully we get to a point where I can pay you guys for your regular appearances. But I think, you know, Shireen, you mentioned broadcast, and it's the linear broadcast, it's the streaming, it's the way that NSL is out there and people can see, and the next generation can see what's possible, right? As a goal, and that can be them one day. You have to see it in order to be it and in order to dream it. But it's part of the ecosystem as well. And it's also part of the storytelling. And the broadcast this year with its NSL focus was a big part of that kind of shoulder, not necessarily programming, but it was helping to prop up the league. And I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but that's a part of like the non-TSN, the non-CBC element that allow these players to be known quantities, right? And they can lean on that as assets in the sporting landscape. And that's what you guys allowed us to do collectively as the Broads. So thank you to you both. I love you to death. And thank you to our listeners, to everybody who watched and supported. Thank you for broadening your horizons with us. We really appreciate it and continue to do so in 2026, which is a huge year for soccer, football in Canada and North America. But we can't forget our domestic pro league in Canada and keep talking about it, keep spreading the word, and keep tuning into the Broads. Thanks, everybody. Any last words, friends? Last words. Sounds, I don't know.
Well, Jump Around is by House of Pain. And
oh, shit.
And Jump, it's just Jump from Crisscross.
Yeah.
How did I screw that up?
And then not to be confused with Jump by the Pointer Sisters.
Right. Or also Van Halen. Did Van Halen do
And also job? Van Halen.
See, okay. All of
them. We could have gone in so many directions.
So many I know. Directions.
We doubled down quite literally on Crisscross.
I'm so sorry. There's me causing chaos again. I'm so sorry.
How old are we? We're Crisscross age.
I know. Wear our overalls to the NSL end of your party.
Backwards. Yeah, I just want to say too really fast because it's the end of the year and I'm getting sentimental. Ames, you're the catalyst for all this. I mean, I'm so happy to sit along with Sigs here and, you know, you put up with our kitchen party and whatever, but you are really a catalyst and you should be so proud of what you've done, not just your contribution on the pitch to women's soccer in Canada, but what you've done. And independent media is so important, aside from league stuff, aside from, you know, TSN or CBC Sports, it's so important. Never mind that we're associated with those things or one soccer, but the fact that we can have this is a telling of a free press, an independent press, which is really important, being able to comment and be able to engage with supporters and global community of women's football. And you are that reason. You are the broadest broad.
Thank you.
I agree with Shireen.
Broadiest broad.
It couldn't be without the two of you and without Rian and without Claire. Like it started after the Women's World Cup in 2023 and was an idea and it's just taken off. And so we need some support in a way of sponsors would be great, but I think that we would do this just because it's a fucking hoot is what it is. It's a joy every time I get a chance to chat with you guys.
I love you.
So guys. Cheers to that. Thanks, everybody. Cheers for listening, watching, and happy holidays to you all. May you continue to use your leftover Halloween candy to fly your children with it for their advent calendars.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeIG and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
Bye.
It will. Auf Wiedersehen, good night.